All right, if you want to get there, we'll eventually get to John 19 and 20, mainly 20. So if you just want to get there, that's fine. And we'll get there in just a moment. David passed marketing 101, didn't he? He's got all the women up front and those ugly guys in the back. So everybody on the screen can see that. No offense, guys. If we can just find a way to get him behind the women, it'll be even better. But I'm just kidding, Dave. You know I love you. Do you know the difference in obligation and love? Sometimes I think as Christians, we confuse that. We think we love Christ, but many times we do things out of obligation. Same thing possibly even at your house, maybe with your wife or your children, you might think that you actually love them, but you do things out of obligation. There is a difference that I want us to look at today, and eventually we'll get there. It's Mary Magdalene's who we're going to look at, and we've been looking at disciples this summer. And remember, and before your hair starts going up on your neck, you're like, she's a woman. I understand that, but disciple means follower of Jesus. We're not talking about the 12 apostles that had a specific calling. We are talking about people that followed Jesus. And we'll see in just a moment that she followed Jesus just as closely as anyone did in the Bible, technically. But when we think about this obligation, I want us to just get a mental picture here for just a moment. Last year, about this time, probably, my kids started telling me what they wanted for Christmas. And both of them were like tag teaming me. They wanted a dog. And I'm like, no, you don't want a dog. And they're like, yeah, we want a dog. And I was like, no, we don't want a dog. And they're like, no, you, we want a dog. And I was like, no, nobody wants a dog. So anyway, we keep on. And Lori's obviously, she's a dog lover, and I'm not, okay? But we get this dog, okay? Catfish, show them the picture of the baby puppy. That's Lori and her puppy. Go back to just the puppy because that's, you know. And see, everybody sees the puppy and they're like, oh, this is so cute. Well, when we get the puppy, I'm having to go home and like let the puppy out, feed the puppy because they're all at school and all this stuff. And so I kind of felt obligated as a parent, okay, to do this because I thought, well, I caved and I let them get the puppy, and you can take that picture down. And so I gave in to them and we got the puppy. I hate this earpiece, by the way. I've got to do something about it. All right. And so we got the puppy and I'm doing all these things. And then that obligation kind of wore off after about a month. I'm like, eh, I told Lord, so that dog will make it. I'm not going home feeding it anymore. It'll be fine. And I'm not letting it out and all this stuff. And so I started out doing things, and the kids were like, Daddy, you like this dog? I'm like, I don't know if I like it or not. It's still a dog. All right, it still leaves hair in my house. And I don't like that. So there is a huge difference. Now, this is kind of how I view the dog. You see the adult picture there, Catfish. You can show them that. This is Phyllis, by the way. She's named after the female from The Office. Show them the other picture, Catfish, of Josie's. Did I not send you that one of Josie's mattress that the dog destroyed last night? Josie comes in and tells me that Phyllis has destroyed her thing that goes under the mattress. And I'm like, what do you expect? It's a dumb dog. And Lori's like, the dog's not dumb. I was like, the dog's dumb. And she's like, but it's still just a baby. I was like, how many five-year-olds do you see eating mattresses? I mean, honestly. And she's like, well, that's a dog. It's different. And so 2 days ago, I'm walking, about to walk out, and I hear Lori on the back porch talking to this dog. I hear her tell the dog she loves it. And I said, did you just tell that dog you love it? And she goes, yeah. I said, you know he doesn't speak English, right? You know, it's kind of like at the Democratic National debate the other night. I'm just kidding. I don't want to go there. But she's speaking. I'm like, that dog doesn't understand you. She goes, she knows I love her. I'm like, how? She can't hear you. She goes, she just knows it because by the way, she knows you don't love her. I'm like, well, that's fine. That's fine because I don't, okay? I'll just be honest. I don't love any animal. Sorry, Doc. I don't love any animal. I'm just not an animal person. I do things out of obligation for that dog because I love my wife and kids. I guess I love them more than I thought I did because I will still let it out and do things like that. But there is a huge difference in how I treat that dog, or not treat it, but how I view that dog. You can take it down. It's distracting everybody. There's a huge difference in how I treat and view that dog compared to how Lori treats and views that dog. Lori does that a lot. Like, she genuinely loves the dog. She'll tear up in about 2 hours when we leave it, okay? And she'll tell it she loves it, and I'll be like, just get the dog out, put it at the kennel, let's go, okay? Huge difference in me. I do things, but I do them out of obligation. As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, I want us to get this, that we can do things. I'm going to end up throwing this thing in a river. I want my old one back. We can do things out of obligation, and we do them wrong. Understand that. Like when I feed that dog, I don't have any love in my heart. It's not like, boy, I just love this dog to death. I'm just going to feed it. No, I do it just because I feel like the dog's going to die if I don't feed it. We can come to church. We can give. We can even do missions and ministry. And if we do them out of obligation, understand this, that not only do we miss the blessing, but eventually the line stops. Okay? It just stops. As to how far we go, Lori will go a lot further with that dog than I will. For instance, the dog's not sitting in my lap. You're like, why? I was like, I don't want white dog hair on me. I just don't. She lets it sit in her lap. I have limits. I have a lot of limits. I certainly am not kissing that dog. And I've caught her and Josie doing that. I mean, I know. And you say, well, you kiss Lori. So I know, I guess I've kissed the dog, okay? But I'm not intentionally kissing that dog. There are limits. When you do things out of obligation for Jesus or to Jesus, you have limits. You'll stop. You don't decide that every week we're coming to church. You don't decide that, hey, we're going to set aside this amount of money to give to missions, or we're going to tithe. You don't say, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to help people. There is a limit to what you'll stop at, because when you do it out of obligation, the love's not there, and you'll always stop short when there's not love. So let's look, and let's just start in Luke chapter 8 just for a second. And then you don't have to go there. Catfish has it up. It says, after this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Now, we'll really kind of stop right there and then go a little bit further. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Now, understand this. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. Where did Mary come from? Why is there this love for Mary? And we'll explain this at the end. Obviously, Mary's in the same ship that we're all in, that Jesus loved her first. God loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. The Bible says that. It's very clear about that. Mary had 7 demons come out of her. What does that look like? Well, we don't know exactly. We know this, that it was actually physicalness. It was demons that actually come out of her. Jesus called demons out of people on more than one occasion. I personally have never seen this. I'll be the first to tell you that. I've never seen physically somebody bring demons out or somebody call demons out of another human being. But I've talked to pastors who've said they have witnessed this, especially in the eastern part of the world. But Mary, you say, and the church, early church history says that she was a notorious sinner. That's what church history says. The Bible doesn't say that. We don't know for sure. Why did she have demons? We don't know exactly. If you remember back to the story where the disciples asked Jesus, why did this guy have this demon that Jesus had cured? Is it because he sinned or because his wife or his parents had sinned? Jesus said neither one. He said that this just happened so that we can proclaim the glory of God. Is that what that is? You can come on up here, I guess. I'm just not going to look at y'all because every time I turn right, it goes off. You can try to hook me up there. So I kind of lost my train of thought there. Yeah, that's all right. Go ahead and fix that. So we don't know for sure why Mary had these demons, why these 7 demons came out. We do know for a fact that she had 7 demons and that Jesus healed her. So as Rick said last week, she went from death to life. Now, understand a few, we're not going to delve into this too much. Know a few things, though. No child of God can be completely demon-possessed. It's just not theologically possible. That doesn't mean the devil cannot have a stronghold in your life. That doesn't mean that we can't be tempted and give in to demons. Now, in the Western world that we live in, we don't see much of this. We don't see demon possession the way we would think of it then. But some things that would look like this today would be people who are angry and hostile toward the gospel of Jesus Christ, people that are agnostic or atheists, and not just that they don't want to come to church or worship Jesus, but it's the fact that they're angry at Christ or angry at God or angry at Christians. That is what probably we would see the closest to this satanic control over someone's life. Now, as a believer, can this happen? It can't be that the demons fully possess us, because once we are a believer, we are a new body. We are a new creation. Christ controls us. That doesn't mean that we can't be tempted by pornography, by drugs, by alcohol, by all those things that can have some control over us. Anything that, and it could be even spending, anything that has control over us has the possibility to have a stronghold. It wouldn't look like demon possession, but in most cases, but it would be the fact that we aren't in complete control. But Mary had seven demons, and Jesus healed her. They came out of her, and she, along with these women, followed him and supported him out of their own means, which is what I want us to look at just for a second, because I know what you're going to say. Oh, here we go again. The first thing that we look at is the difference in obligation and love is that when you actually love someone or something, money is not really an issue to you. It's just not. When you do things out of obligations, you have a limit, okay? I hope this day doesn't happen, but if it comes down to a $2,000 surgery at Doc Penny's and that dog, y'all better hope he calls Lori first, okay? Because my obligation has a lot of limits. In fact, it'd be a tough call on 200, all right? But I'm very obligated, all right? But Lori loves the animal, all right? Same thing with Jesus. You cannot say you love Jesus Christ and not support his ministry. It's just not possible. You say, so you're telling me if I don't give a portion of my check that I set aside every week, I don't love Jesus? That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, you can't love Jesus and not support. You can't love anything. You can't say you love your children and then not ever buy them anything. And I don't mean spoil them. I mean provide for them and throw them out. Did you just throw your kids out on the street and say, oh, I love you, but you're nine now, time to learn to make it on your own? That's not loving your children. You're going to support your children. You're going to take care of them financially. You're going to buy them food. You're going to buy them clothes. You're going to buy, I mean, I'm telling you what, I don't know about y'all, but boys go through shoes faster than anybody I've ever seen in my life. Now, I know it's just at our house, probably, the way we go through them. But, I mean, my son can go through shoes faster than I can go through a steak. I'm just telling you. And so, but I could say, well, you know, you're just going to wear those shoes with the toes out. You just keep wearing them, and when the heels come off, we'll think about getting you some. No, when they wear out, we get him some more. Because that's supporting him. And so, since Mary had this life-altering experience, since her love for Christ was real love and not an obligation, she didn't serve out of obligation. She served out of love, and therefore she said, here's my means. Here's my money. They followed Jesus around. These women are the ones that supported him financially. We can't say that we love Jesus Christ and never give anything. And it's just scriptural. So before y'all start turning me out completely, let's flip over to John 19. It says, I lost my verse, catfish. What did I tell you it was? There you go. I'll just read from you. John 19, 25. That's what it was. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and Mary's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, some of the same women. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here's your son." And so the disciple said, "Here's your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. But I want you to focus on his 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Here is a time where John is the only one of the 12 that's there. Peter's ran. Peter's scared. He's ran away. And so we start with this, that obligation is going to give. I'm sorry, obligation will not give. Love will give. Obligation will run when times are tough, but love will not run when times are tough. Some of us parent out of obligation. And I'm going to tell you, and Dave Ramsey said this for years, that if you think teenagers are expensive, why do you have grown kids? He said, they're twice as expensive. And some of you understand that right now. Some of you are going through that right now. And the easiest thing in the world to do, the easiest thing is go, you're 18, get out of here. You're on your own. I'm not helping you at all. That's the easiest thing. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it's the easiest thing. The hard thing to do is to keep loving your children, trying to teach them to do what's right, trying to help them with their money. Because since we love them, that's what we want to do. When things are tough, the easiest thing to do is run. Some of you have faced this at work. Some of you have had to take a stand for Christ at work. The hard thing to do, but when you love someone, you'll do it. You'll defend them. I don't tell Lori everything, okay? And she appreciates that. One thing I don't tell her, like if somebody calls me, and somebody was telling me this the other day, and I forgot who it was, said, really, I don't have to tell you, hey, don't share this, because I feel like when I tell you something, you either know if you can share it or not. And that's the way it is. If it's just like good Facebook juicy gossip and like stupid stuff, I might tell her. But if you call me with something serious, I mean, honestly, if you've got marital issues or you call me with so-and-so or this, I don't tell her all that stuff. Number one, it's not her job. And it shouldn't bear her down. But I certainly don't tell her all the stuff that gets back to me. Hey, you know what so-and-so said about you? I'm like, no, I really don't want to know. And then they tell me anyway. I don't tell her that. Why? Because the same reason I don't need to know everything said about her as a coach. Because we get defensive of each other because we love each other. And when the going gets tough, when something's said about me, she's not going to run. It's going to draw her in even closer. Look, when we are tested in our faith, when things get rough in our faith, the last thing we need to do is run away from Jesus. The thing that we have to do is do exactly what Mary said here, is what it said, near the cross of Jesus. That's the time that we should be going toward Christ when things are going on in our lives. But you see, obligation won't get that. When we're just obligated to come to church, when we're just obligated to give a little, when we're obligated to take a stand for Jesus every now and then, that won't get that. Because look at what it did with most people. They ran. But Mary stood there. Mary was being persecuted. I'm sorry, Jesus was being persecuted. Jesus was being crucified. And Mary stood there. Now, this is a very dangerous time. Mary could have very easily been taken into custody, been arrested. They could have done something to her, but she stood there anyway. Now, I flip over to verse 20, and it says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, that's John, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. So in case you're not following, Mary was there before dark. By the way, in my eyes, that lets you know you love somebody. If you get up before dark, okay? Some of y'all do that every day. I'm telling you, I'm just not a before dark person. But Mary was there. She couldn't go the day before. Why? Because it was the legal Sabbath then. Okay, you couldn't do that. You couldn't be there on the Sabbath. So Jesus is buried on Friday afternoon before 6, and then their day start at 6 o'clock, and then Sabbath is on Saturday, so that's where we get the third day. So she's there at dawn on Sunday morning. By the way, she still doesn't understand everything. The disciples don't either. We're not going to get into that today. Were they believers? Yes. Their just eyes weren't completely opened to what Jesus said he was going to do. Jesus said he had to die and rise from the grave. They just weren't completely aware of that. They believed Jesus could save them. They just didn't understand exactly what he was saying at that point. But here's Mary before dark. She's waiting on Jesus. Why? To take care of his body. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had put him in there. Mary wanted to come and make sure that nothing had happened. They had this, more than likely, this stone roll, this round stone. They rolled it in front, and it was big enough, and they had guards guarding it so that Pilate said he didn't want anybody to be accused of stealing his body. She gets there, and Jesus is gone. Imagine the last 2 to 3 weeks or 2 to 3 days of what she's been through. So Peter and John started for the tomb. They were running so fast. John got there first. John makes sure to let you know he got there first, but he didn't go in. Peter comes in. Peter's a lot more impulsive. Peter doesn't check up. He goes in. He looks. And then finally, in verse 8, finally the other disciple had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture Jesus had to rise from the dead. Verse 10, then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and another at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" By the way, it's not the same language as we'd use today. They're not reprimanding her. They're being gentle with her. "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." All this she had turned around. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she still did not realize it. People say, why did she not realize it? There's several things it could be. Jesus' glorified body. They didn't recognize him in the other time either when he appeared. It could be that it's obviously before dawn. It could be that Mary was crying. I know she didn't have makeup on. Like you women wear now, but when y'all cry and your makeup starts going everywhere and you look like raccoons, you know. It might have been in her eyes. She might have had an eyeshadow in her eyes. I don't know, okay? I just know that she didn't recognize Jesus. That's what we know before I get in any more trouble. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" She thought he was a gardener. She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And obviously you can picture that soft voice. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. There were different forms. There was rabbi and then another one in Rabboni, and that means the greatest teacher. Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with this news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. So here's Mary. She's went through this traumatic event in her life and a very, very tough time for her. She's lost the one person that she loves the most. And this morning, here's what I want us to cling on to as we start to wrap this up a little bit, is that a lot of you can relate to Mary very well. In two ways. A lot of you can relate that in the opposite view, that you have been living out of obligation for Jesus, that you have actually forgotten your first love, as John says in Revelation, that you've been coming to church because that's what you're supposed to do. You've been reading your Bible because that's what you're supposed to do. You've been muttering a prayer or two because that's what you're supposed to do. But you haven't been doing anything out of love for Jesus Christ. So you relate opposite from Mary. Mary actually paints a picture for you to see what you're not doing. But then some of you are like Mary in this sense that you, now, by the way, we all were like that. We all were dead at one point. But you can remember, like, maybe not the seven demons, but you can remember a time where you were just a wreck. Maybe you're a wreck right now. Maybe you're going through something right now. And Mary had this life-changing experience with Jesus. And once she did, she said, "I'm not going back to the other way. I'm going to give you whatever you need, Jesus. Here's my money. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to cling to you. I'm going to stay near the cross." You notice when she sees him here, she grabs a hold of him because she doesn't want to let him go. And Jesus is like, "Not now, Mary. I'm going to appear to you. I'm going to see you again." Maybe you're like Mary in that sense, that you can remember what a mess you were. Jesus came into your life. He changed you. Maybe you're going through something right now like that. Maybe you're like Mary, you're looking. Maybe you're searching and you're having a hard time finding your purpose and what's going on. And maybe we just need to get along with Jesus and let him speak to us the way he did to Mary here. And he goes, Mary, it's going to be okay. Because you see, here's the thing. Most of us, if we live long enough, we're going to go through something. We're going to go through a trial. We're going to go through sometimes many trials, great trials. Mary here again, I've given you what's happened to her. Mary went through all the things that many of us may go through, not the same, but different types of things. But Mary understood there's a huge difference in just thinking that, hey, I can just have a little bit of Jesus, or I really want the real thing. I want to love Jesus so much that he is my everything. That's why it not only changes your money, not only changes, you know, when she's near the cross, but when things are the worst, where did she go? She went looking for Jesus. Now, we don't know. She obviously thought he was dead, but she was still clinging to Jesus. She didn't go to the other people. She didn't go to Pilate for answers. She still went to Jesus. Even though she thought he was dead, her love for Christ kept going. Now, understand this, that at part of the Christian walk, and Rick talked about this last week, is sanctification. And this kind of ties in even a little bit with Mary today. And those of you, and I understand all of you don't have perfect relationships with your parents. So please forgive me. I'm not trying to tread on that. But for those that have decent relationships or good relationships with your parents, and I've said this before, you kind of figure it out the older you get that, you know, you're a teenager and you think your parents are the worst people in the world. You just do. They don't know anything about what they're telling you. If they coach you in sports, they're idiots. If they tell you not to drive fast, they don't know. If they tell you to study, then, you know, you made bad. Everything they tell you is just stupid, okay? If you're a parent of a teenager right now, you understand what I'm talking about. And then you get a little bit older in college, and they still don't want to be around you. They want to be around their friends, and they go through this phase. And it hit me about the end of my college that I started realizing not only that my parents weren't idiots, but I actually wanted to spend time with them. And then you realize what your parents have actually done for you. And you start thinking back to this. You start thinking back to obligation. If my parents didn't love me, they wouldn't have done some of the things they did. I can promise you my dad wouldn't have been to every ball game I ever played, except one because he was preaching a revival. My mother wouldn't have got up at 4 a.m. when I was 18 years old and made me bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits so I could have something to eat on the way to work. You don't do that out of obligation. You do that because you love your children. And that's why they did it. When you think about this, you see, you think, oh, that's just a great sacrifice. No, Mom never thought twice about it. She really didn't. Dad never thought twice about it. It wasn't that, man, I got to go watch him play basketball tonight. No, he was more excited than I was. Those of you around know that, okay? He got more excited about the games than I did. Mom never said, boy, I brought him into the world and I kind of wish I had now so I didn't have to cook him bacon, egg, and cheeses. She never said that. But as our love for Christ grows, it's not about, you understand this, it's not about doing things. It's just about letting your love for him overflow. Now, as my parents age, and we're about to be gone for a few days, and one of the things I think about is it's chaotic when all of us get together. I mean, it's like you could have one of those loud meters, and it'd be way up when the Baileys get because everybody's just talking over each other. It was like that last night, but I still enjoy our time together. The older I get, the more I enjoy it. And I may not say much. I just sit in a corner and listen to everybody get loud and talk. And I'm like, and every now and then you'll be like, I've got to step outside and just let my head catch up and then come back in. But I still enjoy the family time. Now, I didn't always when I was growing up. But the older I get and the older they get, the more I love them. You say, how is that? Because my love just grows. Now, when it started, let's go all the way back to when I was a teenager. I spent time with my parents, did things with my parents because I was obligated. They'd be like, hey, we're having a, you know, we used to call them family reunions. We're having a family thing at this and that. First got married, I'm like, I don't want to go to that. I don't see any of them. I got all I need here. And that was my attitude. But the older you get, the more you're like, man, it's probably going to be loud, but I still want to see my family. Because my love for my parents and my other family members has grown. It wasn't always like that. Why is it like that? Because my parents loved me first. They love me so much that in turn, my love has grown for them. They've kept loving me. And now, I would venture to say that I love them more than they love me. Now, it works like that with Jesus Christ. We can only love him because he first loved us. That's the only way. Think about it. That'll make your mind just race. How do I love Jesus? Why do I love Jesus? Do I love Jesus for the wrong reasons? Do I love Jesus for this reason? Why? The only way you can love Jesus is because he first loved you. That's the only way. God loved you first. He loved you so much He sent His Son. And then when He did that, we start understanding, we trust in Him, and our love for Him starts growing. Not out of obligation, but because we actually love Him. And then when your parents call you and they need something, which my parents never want anything from me, it's still the other way around. But if they ever need something, it's not like, I got to go help Dad cut a tree. And it's like, no, I get to spend time with him now. And it's not out of obligation, it's out of love. And that's the way it should be with Jesus. That we don't have to give, we get to give to His kingdom. We don't have to spend time in the Bible every day, we get to spend time in the Bible every day. We don't have to do missions, we get to do missions. See, Mary had all this figured out. And my hope and prayer is that we can just get this figured out so that our love for Christ can grow. And it's not out of an obligation, but out of love for Him that we do what we do. Would you stand by your heads and close your eyes, please? I apologize. I went a little longer than I meant to today. Brother Dave's going to sing. The invitation's not going to be long. It's just going to be this, that if you're here and you have never, I'll be honest, I'm going to steal that term from Rick because I love it. If you've never went from death to life, then you need to get that right today. If you're like Mary and you've never made that decision to trust in Jesus back in Luke 8, then you need to get that right. The Bible says that one day we're all going to stand before a holy God and give an account of Jesus. What did you do with Jesus? Did you trust Him or did you reject Him? I'll be here down front if you want to talk to that, talk about that. If not, the altar's open. For some of you in here today, I mean, you can lie all you want to, but a lot of you in here today are doing things out of obligation. You're not doing things because you love Jesus. You're not giving because you love Jesus. You're not coming to church because you love Jesus. You're not doing anything because you love Jesus. You're doing things just because that's the way you think it should be. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying your heart needs some tweaking. And if you want to get that right, the altar's open this morning. As Brother...